Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers dropped this news today on ESPN's The Pat McAfee Show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
This is why the floor is 9-8 and the ceiling is Super Bowl.
Oh, Jesus.
Marshall, what's your ceiling for the Steelers?
Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. This dude is crazy. What?
What now?
What's that?
What?
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 What? To the Super Bowl? This is ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
They should take your mic away.
I'm sorry, Chicago, for yelling this. That's one of the wildest things I've ever heard. Adam, my good friend, Marshall Harris.
I realize I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob right now.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's a Grody Day.
It's Grody time, yeah!
More Mark Grody.
Mark Grotek. Mark Grotek.
Ah, Grody.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
He is from The Score. This is a Mark Grody Day. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody is in. Our producers, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer. And our video crew, you can watch us. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Brian Gertsch and Connor O'Donnell are helping out. You can text us 312-644-6767, and you already are. So let's just start with what we talked about in our pre-show meeting, because the listeners are on to you too, 219. Why, Mark, why? Why did you breathe life until Milwaukee and the Cardinals? This resurgence is all because of Mr. Grote. I thought you were one of us. LOL, JK. But are you kidding? Are you kidding? Because let's rewind to a week ago when Mark Grody's like, oh, I'm not worried about the Cardinals or any other team in the NFC Central.
Oh, you're worried about those Cardinals, are you? I still think that the Cubs take this thing and they clinch the division essentially today. Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs, 7.5 game lead.
Seven and a half game lead. That's the part right there, right?
All
right. 7.5 game lead. That was not long ago, Layla.
Super!
I would like to inform you all that the lead is now down to 2.5 games, and it is split between the Milwaukee Brewers and Cardinals. And the Reds, who just debuted a hell of a pitcher yesterday, are 4.5 games back. Scene. So, yeah.
On June 17th, that is when those comments were made. This was not that long ago, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been 83 years. I think she says 84. But in the Titanic, I think she says 84, but you get my drift.
Listen, take the 3 off, take the 4 off. Just 8, as in 8 days ago.
8 days ago. The Cubs are up. While transition was going on, and you guys were cutting me out of transition, I was sitting
back
there.
You weren't there for transition.
You were never there for me, Layla.
I learned it from you.
I learned it from watching you.
Layla, why won't you just support me for just one time in your life? Why won't you support me on and off the air?
How can I support you when you can't support yourself?
I want to be better.
Do you want to be better? Do you want to be better?
Honestly.
Is this about baseball? Did we get into other things?
Yeah, this is a deeper topic. Exactly. Can we spend the first... can we do a session here?
We're doing questions. A session.
So I'm sitting back there during transition, and it actually dawned on me to think, how the hell did we get here to where my prediction that the division was over and the Cubs would be up 7.5, which I did feel really good about, has now come hurling, and I use the word hurling unpurposely, hurling back down to earth. And yeah, there it was. Then there's the postponement the next day after they beat the Brewers, and then it's... and this will tie in with where we're about to go here. But Tyone loses that game against the Brewers. And then, my God, the Seattle series this weekend against the or at Wrigley Field in the heat was just ridiculous. Not in terms of how badly they played, but just because of the heat, things came off the rail. Cal Raleigh was a menace. And now here we are after two straight losses to the St. Louis Cardinals. But guess what? I still think the Cubs are going to win this division. Don't you guys?
Mark this. Mark this at 6:09 the hour that Mark Grody is still confident.
After after five more games got shaved off the division lead.
I'm concerned about what's
been
going on.
5 games in 8 days. But 5 games in 8 days.
But if we're going to do the Mark Grody is ridiculous for picking the Cubs to win in June, it would also then be ridiculous to say that the Cubs aren't still the most talented team in the division and will still win the division and have plenty of time to get their asses back.
Are you sure they have the most talented pitching staff?
I do.
My issue with this, though, is they have been the most talented team in the division, and they would play under that expected wins-loss record, which you know you can check out in the standings. Like, we talked about this the last couple of years. They weren't supposed to be an 83-79 team the last 2 years.
2 years, yes.
So that piece of it sticks with me. And we're not trying to be doom and gloom here when we talk about the signs that we see. But when the pattern extends itself past a game or two and you start to see what's happening, that's when this becomes concerning. I am a firm believer that the game is not won or lost on a single play, even though it can come down to it, PCA. And that's part of this too. But in this are the stats. For example, the Cubs starting pitching ERA in the last 6 games is 10.61. Well, yeah, if you're losing an 8-7 game by one run, that one run may mean less percentage-wise. But it's still the significant issue of scoring 7 runs against the Cardinals where 2 fans were in the crowd at the game didn't get you enough to win the game. That's my issue with it.
I'll say this. Over the last 7 days, and I think we have a bigger sample size than we did yesterday or the day before that, it just the sample just keeps getting bigger, right? And we're talking about playing teams now with good records. I made the point yesterday. They had the 21-game stretch. It's highly documented. I said, hey, they need to win 15 of the 21 games. They went one better and won 16. That means over the course of 21 games, they added 11 games plus 500 to their record, which is what you have to do against bad teams if you want to win the division. They are 22-6 against teams with sub-500 records. They are 24-26 against teams 500 and above. Over the last week, though, in losing 5 of 6 games, no one in baseball has a higher batting average against, 350. Ooh. No one in baseball has a higher walks and hits to innings pitched. The whip is 1.83, and no one in baseball has given up more than their 20 home runs, and no one in baseball finally has a higher ERA than 8.83.
So who sucks then? Who needs to go? If this is a chronic issue or one that should be taken seriously, who's got to go? How do you change it? Somebody must suck. If you're that confident about this being an issue.
We've already seen there was a move where Ben Brown was sent down. We're going to get into that in a couple of segments 10:45. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're seeing is good teams, the best teams in baseball, have backstops. And I use that pun on purpose because you have the confidence if you score 7 runs to be able to beat the Cardinals. You know, you've got the bullpen stepped up yesterday and did what it was supposed to do. But then ideally, your $177 million man is not batting 141 with runners in scoring position. Say a Suzuki isn't biting on a slider when it counts again. And I think that's just the danger of this team and the hitting profile. But that's another thing that I want to get into as well, is there's a lot of construction issues that are starting to show themselves. And we knew this going in. Or for example, you know, if you know that you're going to have offense that isn't ideal at third base, and that's a very common understanding now in the league. Well, then your first base had better offensively produce, but your first base is now a platoon between a 40-year-old and a guy you traded for that you gave up a lot for capital-wise, who should be trusted more in Michael Busch. So, you know, these are the issues here. You still have time to fix this, of course. You still have time to give other people like Busch, for example, more opportunities. But your talent is supposed to pick up where one leaves off. And frankly, in the case of PCA, I know you made a mistake when you didn't know how many outs there were to end that inning and it cost the team a run. But that doesn't mean that you forget who you are as a hitter. Later in the game with runners at the corners and decide to bunt. One loss beat you twice there because you're young in this game. And that's what happened.
Bunted it right back to the pitcher. Kyle Tucker was basically frozen on third base. And just to top it all off, one would suspect that if the fastest guy in Major League Baseball bunts, he's at least going to get to first base. But no, even PCA was thrown out on that particular play. And by the way, guys, how in the hell do the Cubs lose the game where Nico Hoerner hits his first home run and Seiya hits another? You can't lose a game where anybody on your team hits a three-run homer. That was bad.
Also, how many times did you have to like rewind the tape and double check it? I was like, really? First homer for Nico? I looked at four different sources to
that's been something that's been talked about for quite a while. When will Nico hit his first home run? But it's not one of those.
I mean, that's one of those stats where you're checking it several times to just make sure to make sure.
Yeah, I actually asked Nico about that probably about a month ago or so, and I was just to follow in line with my bad predictions.
Yes.
I think I said something to him like, I said I just saw it. You're going to hit a home run tonight. It's going to be your first of the year. That was about a month ago. Obviously, I was wrong, but I did say, I think I said, I'd have to review it. Maybe I'm completely making this up. At least in my mind, I said to him, I can't wait for your first home run because I think it's going to be huge. It looked like it was going to be huge last night, but no, it was all for nothing. He may as well be back down to zero.
I would call you a walking, talking jinx, but you're sitting down, so instead you are a walking, sitting jinx.
I am plopped here. I am just a jinx for everybody, but I'm still not backing off that all. Maybe it won't be a 7.5 game lead, but I still am very confident, and in knowing that the Cubs, like, I'm not pulling the blanket over my head here. The Cubs have been playing poorly. There's no doubt about it. I got a little bit crazy. I still think the Cubs are going to win this division. Do you guys think that there's still a threat to lose the division?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. Especially when the Brewers, what are we talking about? The main issue here with this kid that we've seen is starting pitching, right? That's the thing that has set you back out of the gate. And what happened? The Brewers called up a guy who's basically your ideal modern pitcher. That's what happened.
He's going up against Paul Skeens
hell
today.
Yes.
That's the kind of pitching matchup I can get behind where I have no rooting interest and I just want to see good, clean baseball.
But it's also then the second pick from the 2024 draft. Chase Burns also got called up and he just absolutely shoved yesterday.
Are you telling me the Brewers are going to Brewer? Oh, no.
No,
oh,
it's
no.
not just that. It's. I think the problem is the Central is harder than you thought it was.
I keep saying that and everybody acts like I'm
but
crazy.
Here's the issue. It's still the problem of, because the National League is so good, you're still realistically only getting one playoff winner or one playoff contender out of this division. It's going to be the winner of it. So do you want to be here a third year in a row when this is your window because this is the year you have Kyle Tucker?
No, I disagree with that. I think there can be multiple teams out of the National League
Central. Who in the NL East or the NL West isn't making the playoffs because two in the Central are?
I can definitely see, correct me if I'm wrong, six teams still make it, right? Six teams make it. There's three wild cards, right? So
yeah, but that's my point.
So if you assume the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Phillies, that's three teams, right? And then you assume the second place team in the National League West.
Padres.
I think there's room.
Giants.
I think there's room for one of those teams not to make it, between the Padres and the Giants. I think that's the thing you have to look at. Because they have to play each other. And the Cubs and these teams in the National League Central, they don't have as tough of division opponents as the teams in the National League West do.
I don't know, man. To me, it's as simple as look no farther than the payrolls. Like, the Mets proved that to you last year. The playoff contenders are going to come out of the East and the West. I don't see the Central getting a wild card. And if you're in the Central, your goal should be to win the damn thing. I don't care how it happens. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I also want to play the audio from Craig Counsell when he talked about the PCA decision to bunt in the seventh inning, because I do believe that because he knows that he can impact the game the way he does, that it is important why Craig Counsell wanted to tell us that that was his batter's decision. Let's listen.
The bunt in the seventh come from the bench?
No, that's Pete doing it on his own, and he was trying to take it with him, and he just, you know, just didn't get there. He left it right at the pitcher.
Batting in that's a cleanup hitter versus one out. What do you think of that decision?
Well, I mean, it's against the left-handed pitcher, and you know, he wants the ball in play. That's what he's thinking. Just get the ball in play, and he just made a poor bunt.
Okay, so you hear that audio from Craig Counsell. It's saying Pete Crow Armstrong made that decision on his own. I'm here to tell you, it was a bad decision. It was the wrong decision. Your lack of execution in bunts prior to this told me that was not the time to be trying that. I get it. With less than two outs, runner on third, you're thinking, I can get that guy home if I just get this bunt down.
You need to be yourself. Like, I don't care if you made a mistake, and I know that's hard previously in the game, but that doesn't mean you change who you are as a hitter in that situation with those runners on. That's why you're batting cleanup.
I wonder if because of the situation and what happened earlier in the game, that affected his decision-making process. And if that's the case, that's what we can't have happen.
What do you mean? Not swinging away?
Yeah.
What, like he was feeling bad, so he was
going to
bunt?
So he wanted to
do
something.
Careful. He wanted to be careful. You got.
That's how I took it.
Pete Crow Armstrong has not gotten to this point of the season as a 2020 guy, as a potential 40-40 guy, by taking it easy, playing it safe.
Right.
He's hacking at balls out of the strike zone, hitting them out of the park. And now all of a sudden, it felt very pedestrian of Pete Crow Armstrong to try to do what he did.
Oh, no, I totally agree. It was a bad decision by him, a bad moment for PCA. The only thing I was really trying to think of, like, why he did that. I'm not going to buy into the he was worried about his earlier mistake and I'm going to make up for it by bunting. I mean, like, he knows he's not been an effective bunter during his career with the Cubs. It was an 0-1 count. He took strike one. Did he think he was overmatched by the pitcher? I mean, that's when guys get desperate and bunt in games, when they don't think that they're seeing the pitcher correctly. Is there any possibility of that? I mean, that's the minutia that I'm going to try to figure out what was going through his mind, that a slugger, a guy who literally goes up there, well, maybe not literally, but in my eyes, goes up there trying to hit home runs most of the time, would bunt in that scenario.
Well, let's listen to what Pete Crow Armstrong had to say, both about misplaying the situational out in the inning and also the bunt decision in the eighth.
Pete, can you just walk us through the fourth inning? Is it as simple as just not knowing how many outs there were?
Yeah. Simple as that.
And then in the seventh, what went into the decision to bunt?
That was an attempt for a little push bunt, trying to bunt for a base hit. But I didn't do a good job of playing the game of baseball today, so.
Does that need to be in communication with Tucker there, or is that just something?
No, we give the outs every out, and I gave two outs, so can't really do much about that.
Just the stretch of that you guys are in as a team, what's the key to kind of weathering these and understanding that there's a course of the season and so a lot of games to be played?
I mean, there's a lot that goes into our day, and, you know, we got a very capable group, a lot of good leadership in this clubhouse, and this clubhouse has every ability to keep playing the way we're playing. I mean, things haven't gone our way, and we haven't played the best baseball over the last couple weeks, but it's just a two-week stretch that I'm positive we're going to get past.
How do you personally flush your neck when it's come back tomorrow?
Go to sleep and wake up.
So to the reason
we all did that,
why I think he didn't have as an aggressive approach as he needed to have in that plate appearance in which he tried to drop down the bunt. I mean, he's going up against JoJo Romero. He's a left-handed pitcher. If you just look at the splits, and I know Pete Crow Armstrong knows his own splits, right? He's a 956 OPS player against right-handed pitching. He's a 674 OPS player against left-handed pitching. And he's batting 302 against right-handers, 200, that's the Mendoza line, against lefties. So I just think he felt like the high percentage play for me to get this tying run home is to just get down the bunt.
That's what I said.
I'm on the base pass, and maybe I'm still on base. Who knows what happened?
He saw one pitch and said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to hit this guy right now. So
right.
Lay it down.
My concern is how much of that is because of what happened in the fourth inning. He's still a rookie, technically.
The defensive play? You think that led?
I think in young players specifically, it will change your mindset.
Like, you mean he was flustered at the plate? Like,
no, I just think he. You heard him say, you know, you gave two outs away.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he thought that he lessened his chances for giving another one away by doing that.
When he's hit 21 home runs? Like, that's
I'm not the one standing there thinking that I suddenly need to bunt if I'm a home run
hitter. But I'm just trying to figure out the mentality of, I'm going to make up for this bad defensive play by doing something I never do at the plate, and that's bunt. So, like, wouldn't you help your team more if you did what you did all year, swing away?
But like, based on his explanation, that wasn't the case.
Like, he felt insecure?
I think he just didn't want to screw up again.
I don't get that. I disagree.
Well, that's okay. That's kind of what we're here for.
Exactly.
We have more coming up here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. We're going to talk about some signs that we discussed earlier. This got pretty heated in our pre-show meeting. The construction of this team and how it has led to some of what we have seen fray in the last week. So that's next here on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's a deep drive to center. Going back is Carr Armstrong to the wall. Makes the catch. And Pete forgot how many out there were. And now the runner is going to try to score. And he goes. Pete Carr Armstrong thought that was the third out in the inning. He put his head down, his teammates Suzuki and Tucker yelling for him to throw the ball in, and he realized too late, tagging and scoring from second, Mason Wynn, and the Cardinals lead 8-5.
And that was all the Cardinals needed to win the ball game last night. It was an 8-7 win over the Cubs in the second game of their series. That was Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer on The Score. This is Raheemy Harris and Mark Grody, and we have a little bit of breaking news. Let's do it, guys. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. We got some Bears. Have you heard of the Bears?
Bears.
The Bears have announced the open practice schedule and ticket information for 2025 Chicago Bears training camp presented by LRS.
Bears.
Not to be confused with LR. And Family Fest. 11 open practice sessions for public attendance. Tickets are free of charge, and they will be available to fans starting Wednesday, July 9th. July 9th, guys, at 10 a.m.
Black Bears.
You visit chicagobears.com/camp.
Bears.
Would you like to know the open dates?
Yeah, man. You got 12 of them or 11?
11.
Oh, I have conflicting reports.
Oh, really?
I see 12.
They say 11 in the headline.
Okay, then go with that.
Let's count.
I'm not going to call out the reporter that I'm looking at here right now that says they're going to hold 12. So
is go it, with
is the,
it Mark
is the reporter somebody we work with?
No, it may. No, is it Mark I'm not going to say. I'm
is just, Mark Grody the reporter?
It's, no, it's not.
It's a pillow.
I did not.
Count them.
I've lost my love of tweeting since I lost
right,
Mark
so
Grody Sports.
Again, you can buy them on July 9th, bears.com, chicagobears.com. Bears.com, I think, is a totally different website. chicagobears.com/camp. It is Friday, July 25th. Practice starts at 8:30. Saturday, July 26th. Practice starts at 8:30. They're all 8:30 until I specify. Tuesday, July 29th. Wednesday, July 30th. Thursday, July 31st, Saturday, August 2nd. Thursday is a later day. That's 11 a.m. practice. Thursday, August 7th. Friday, August 8th is a joint practice with the Miami Dolphins that you get to watch. That's starting at 10:30 in the morning. Hopefully we see some people start to beat up on some other people. Is it really open practice unless there are fights? I don't think it is.
Fans need it.
It's just one day. It's just one day with each of those teams, though. So it doesn't feel like it can bubble up like if it was a two-day session.
I don't know.
No, I mean, it could, but it's less likely to happen. Would you agree with that? When there's multiple days of multiple practices against another team, it feels like the tensions rise even further than
absolutely.
A one-off.
A one-off is 100%.
You get to see for yourself if you want to attend that practice on Friday the 8th. Thursday, August 14th, practice starts at 11 a.m. And Friday, August 15th, another joint practice. This one with the Buffalo Bills starting at 10:30. So you can go to chicagobears.com/camp.
Family
I know people
fest.
Like to watch those.
Yeah, Family Fest. I don't know if you mentioned this or not. Family Fest, though, at Soldier Field on August 3rd. So they are doing the Family Fest practice. What day of the week is that? They've done some weird days with that.
August 3rd is according to my calendar, August 3rd is a Sunday.
Sunday. Okay.
So
okay.
That's nice.
All right.
So Bears.
Very Bears.
Texter asked how many Bears we deduct from Mark Grody for declaring the division one last week.
That's up to you guys. That's up because, you know, you guys were a little offended by that. We've had some listeners that were offended by that.
I wasn't offended. I was just trying to get you back on the right path because I knew you had been led astray.
Okay,
were you mad or disappointed?
I was disappointed. I thought Mark knew better.
Would you like to take a Bears away?
No,
or would you like
no.
to just keep ripping keep on it, me? You
no,
want
no.
to just keep taking it personally?
How many Bears
I'm not
do
taking
you
anything
have?
Personally.
I'm about to take away your Bears if you
Whoa.
Keep this up.
I don't have any Bears. I haven't been here.
Oh,
what's
that's
the
right,
minimum?
10 years.
Yeah, 10
years.
I haven't been here 10 years.
Layla will be here.
Nope. I wasn't born in Chicago, so they're going to be mad at me forever, and I just got here.
No, you're very, first of all, you're very Chicago, but I need you to be here for 10 years, and that will have happened in
October.
So
yes.
We're going to have a big ceremony for Layla when she gets her first six Bears, and I might add one just because you're awesome.
How many Bears do you have right now?
Well, see, that nobody knows. It's a secret. Nobody really knows how many Bears I have. I mean, since I came up with the system, I don't know. Shouldn't I have, like...
You should at least have eight Bears.
Well, please. I mean, I've
10
got...
10 of 10 is like
not that many people have eight Bears.
Walter Payton.
I've got...
Like, 10 of 10 is like the ultimate Bears.
I'd like to think that...
Pope
since
Leo has 14.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to take... I don't know if I'm eligible for Bears. Since I came up with the system, wouldn't it be...
And, no, it's like the...
I'm a sole voter.
It's like the dudes who dye their hair like I do. You're not only a member, you're also a client.
Oh, that's true. If I may just say really quickly, on the Take the North podcast, we've got two cool episodes running right now.
Oh,
a mailbag
Bears.
And people love Allen Robinson. You should listen to Allen Robinson. He played for the Lions last year. We talk about all the modern Bears, and you know that Marky Mark, that's me, want, and so did Weederer.
Who calls you Marky Mark?
There are people that call me Marky Mark, and I like to call myself Marky Mark every once in a while.
Would you also like some more breaking news since we're
yes,
here?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes.
For
so,
all of you.
So last night, there was a discussion regarding the White Sox and Diamondbacks game because there was a fan in the crowd, and I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this show, because, you know, we talk Sox, you might know that person, regarding Ketel Marte. The
yes.
Diamondback second baseman, and a fan heckling him regarding a car crash in the Dominican Republic in 2017 where his mother passed away as a result. So not only was Marte shaken up, but Torrey Lovello, the manager, was also. So this is more breaking news. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This from our friend Jesse Rogers. We are hearing that not only was the man ejected, that's what a Diamondbacks spokesperson told the Arizona Republic, but now we hear from Jesse that the fan has been banned indefinitely from attending White Sox home games. Because what are you doing?
I think that's an appropriate reaction. I was disgusted not only by what happened at the game, but when it was posted on social media, the number of people who were calling Ketel Marte soft and saying basically he should be able to take it. When talking about a man's dead mom, yo, we got to do better as a society.
Like, his job doesn't excuse your behavior. Like, that's the part of this that always bothers me. What ended up happening in that game? The Diamondbacks won 4-1, and the Sox are 25-55. Do you think that helped? The only thing it helped at the time was whoever said that's ego. And how is that working out now? I hope they're happy, because that was a pretty crappy thing to do.
People will say this. Can you heckle people? Absolutely. I'm all here for getting on to opposing players if you feel like it. But there has to be a line. And what's happened is that line has become so blurred that people just, they feel like they're at the game just like they're on social media, faceless, nameless, and can say whatever they want to whoever they want. That honestly, that guy's lucky he didn't say something like that to the wrong person and get knocked TF out. Okay?
Yeah.
Because, like, there's certain. Can you imagine if that happened to Tommy Pham? Can you imagine if that happened to Tommy Pham?
Tommy Pham.
I wish it did. What do they say in the side talk segment? I wish you blanking what?
He would have busted out in 10 different martial artists, and it would have been over.
Listen, we're talking baseball. We're talking little Bears because there's some breaking news here on 670 The Score. Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody in the house to try to figure out how many Bears he has, how many Bears should be taken away. There's a lot of discussions
really
going on right
stuff.
Now. But
yeah.
It's been a good time, but unfortunately, that was a bad time, what happened at the White Sox. Not just the final score, which was listless to say the least. Although Luis Robert Jr. did hit a home run.
He did hit a home run.
One of three White Sox hits.
How much value does he have now? Every home run, it's like tiny little percentage points that every time, like the volatility meter of Luis Robert
so
or
batting
Louis
average,
Robert.
OPS, slugging, they all go to the thousands. We need to go to the
thousands?
10,000s when we talk about what percentage points were moved.
Is he going to be with the Sox for the next 2 years or is he going to be traded? We need those home runs to make this definitive because either way, you want him to hit home runs.
I do want to get back to our original topic before we had some breaking news in this 8-7 Cubs loss to the Cardinals, where now the Cubs are 46-33. And the Cardinals are 44-36. If you do the math, that's 79 games into the season for the Cubs. So we're almost to the halfway point, as crazy as that may seem. My issue in all of this is, as similar to what we talked about, one play shouldn't win or lose you a game, even though sometimes it does. We know that. But with a team that has really been built to be a contender, which I believe that in earnest, Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, and the Cubs were doing, you have some real questions when it comes to sustainability, not just from the construction of your team from an offensive standpoint, but let's even look at the explanation we heard from, say, Nico Hoerner when it came to in the heat, you know, and in these conditions. I think a texter nailed it in the last segment. Seattle played in those too. They just out-hit you. Like, good teams will find a way to win, and that typically becomes also good teams find a way to stop streaks. You know, here we are talking about the Cubs losing three in a row, and that's a rarity. But even when you look at how this team is constructed, let's start with starting pitching. I know ground ball outs are not the thing anymore. But when you consider that the ground ball out pitcher via your profile of a starting pitching rotation is supposed to have, Shota's been out. We know that. He comes back. Justin Steele is out. That he's letting loose for 21 home runs in 75 fewer innings than it took him to get to that point last year.
He allowed 21 all of last year.
There it is.
Boom.
So you consider that piece of it. Then you also go to your ground ball pitcher isn't giving up. He's not forcing enough ground ball outs. You know, I think about the weather and these elements and how we discuss it. Because, again, that's at that point where you have somebody in that three-game set against Seattle, right? Or you have somebody in the four-game set against the Cardinals when the weather is like this, where you're building your team saying, as the general manager, we need somebody in this condition to perform. You know, just like you get hitters for certain parks, the same can be said for getting pitchers for certain conditions. The other two pitchers that are in the top 100, this is according to team rankings, for forcing ground ball outs, are your two worst pitchers in the starting rotation in Ben Brown and Colin Ray. And that's where this concerns me is, based on how you built the team, is this something you should be focusing on more when we're talking about it so much and it's become such a, I don't know if it's a crutch, but it's some sort of focus point for this group.
I think specifically with the ground ball portion, you're spot on with Jameson Taillon giving up the home runs, as Mark pointed out, as many already through less than half a season as he
21.
Did all of last year. He's known as a ground ball pitcher. His career rate on ground balls, 48%. That's a nice high ground ball rate, which plays well when you're talking about hot, humid conditions and the ball flying out, whether you're at Wrigley or whether you're in St. Louis or wherever you are on the road where it's hot and it's out of control. I think the thing you have to account for is they haven't had Shota and they haven't had Justin Steele for so long that we forget those were their two guys. And really, to get to this point of the season and to be double-digit games over 500, leading the division, depending on a Ben Brown and a swingman like Colin Ray, I'm good with where the Cubs are.
Amen.
I just want to make sure that they have answers to sustaining that and doubling that to being 25, 26, 27 games over 500 by year's end. Because if you do that, you're in first place. You're making the playoffs.
Which is why the Cubs have talked loudly about going out and getting starting pitching. And I'll say this, too, about Jameson Taillon. Like, and I think I did this last year, too, when he was hot for a while. I did the thing where I start to think, okay, maybe Jameson Taillon is going to really shine this year. And I have to back myself up and understand that Jamison Tyone is who he is. He is going to go through strong stretches in a season, but then he'll remind you that he's right around a 3.5 to 4 ERA guy for his career, that he's a 2 or 3. He's not where he was drafted in Pittsburgh in 2016 in the top three. Just as evidence of that, before these last two starts here, prior to that, 5 straight starts where he didn't allow more than 2 earned runs in a game. So he was on this hot streak, and now at the wrong time against the wrong teams, he has gotten cold.
And it shouldn't just come down to him. Like, it just shouldn't just come down to PCA on one play. And I know we're going to get into this a little bit later, but the construction of the lineup right now is also worth a discussion. We're going to get into, unfortunately, the optics behind your highest paid player being the one who's batting 141 with runners in scoring position right now. That will be at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, we did talk about Ben Brown. Let's dive into that a little bit more and the decision to send him back to Iowa. That is next with Raheemy and Harris and Mark Grody on the
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Score.
Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris, Raheemy and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Deep drive to right center. Going back is Crow Armstrong, and this ball is gone. And the Cardinal left-handed batters doing all the damage against Ben Brown. 4 different left-handed hitters have hit a 2-run home run.
It's going to be tough to sleep tonight just knowing that I was that close to something really good tonight.
Newt Bar.
What about the Thiel Bar Newt Bar matchup? I'll tell you what nobody's talking about.
I'm glad you appreciated that.
Of course I did. This is Raheemy and Harris on the Score with Mark Grody, talking about not just the Cubs losing 8-7 last night to the Cardinals, but also the series so far. We knew that there was going to be a move made when Porter Hodge got activated off of the injured list. I did not necessarily think that they were actually going to send Ben Brown down to Iowa, but that is what happened. He got optioned to Iowa. Brown, after his most recent rough outing, he's 24 years old. I always like to keep that in mind with him. Allowed 8 earned runs on 4 2-run home runs in the 8-2 loss on Monday night. He is now there with a 6.13 ERA in the bigs and 79 and a third innings across 16 games.
Why are we slow clapping? Help me with that.
Bravo, Mr. Harris. I believe this is what you desired with Ben Brown.
Well, my point stands, and it was very simple. Ben Brown is young, as you just pointed out with his age, Layla.
He is young.
We've seen young players have rough stretches, go down, come back, be good. I think that is the most optimal plan for a guy that, if you don't trade him, because you need more starting pitching help and you need a frontline starter, and he would be a nice piece in a package for a frontline starter, you want him ready to pitch again as a starter. That's why you don't send him to the bullpen. Because, as I said yesterday, I don't know a whole lot about predicting the future. I can predict accurately, though, that this won't be the last time that someone in the current 5-man rotation for the Cubs does not make a start. So you need to have guys ready. Ben Brown is the perfect guy with options remaining to have go down, work on that third pitch, keep him on 5 days rest, keep him developing, if you will, against AAA hitters, and let him be ready to go when he needs. Now, in the same breath, I will say this. As they make the trades for maybe 1-2 starting pitchers, there will be a point in the season in which Ben Brown, you say, okay, Ben, we love your development this season. You got a good run with the big league club. We want you to be able to help that big league club in the best way possible for us to make the strongest push for the World Series. That requires you going to the bullpen because you have swing and miss stuff, and we don't have enough guys, because you never have enough guys, with swing and miss stuff. Then you convert him to a reliever, bring him back up. He's back in the bullpen as a high leverage guy that can help you on your quest to make the playoffs and go as far as you can in the playoffs.
I feel all of that. I think the biggest thing for me was, I love that Ben Brown is in his head so much. I love that he will tell you how he got from point A to B. But the thing I worry about is, how in the heck, and this is something that I'm examining in my life every day, so I understand him on this. How in the heck do you separate it? And for him, I think it is slowing the game down, going back to Iowa. And also, it is that put away pitch for him. He needs to have confidence in himself, given how he's told us how his mind works, right? How he's seeing the game. When you're up in the count and you've got two strikes, what are you doing to face that batter on the other side? And he's got to be confident in that. And I think that's where he has lost that part of it for him. We expect a lot out of Ben Brown, and I think we should, you know, but trying to figure out how he develops inside all of this, that's where the secret sauce is going to be. Aside from your four-seam fastball and your curveball, what do they want you to throw? And maybe you tap into a mind of Jameson Taillon, for example. Maybe you talk to other veterans. What do you want to do that makes you feel good about putting that hitter away?
I did what, like the Cubs did what they did, and it's probably the right thing just considering how poorly he has started recently. I did, just for kicks, like right now, wanted to see him, what he would look like in the bullpen. Obviously, there are reasons to fear the bunches of runs that he has given up, but I did want to see what that looked like.
And that's the question I don't know. I mean, if you're a fastball curveball person, I always start with like the base three of like fastball, slider, change. So which ones of those are you throwing? But do you mix in a slider when you're throwing a curve so much? Like that's where the finer points of it for me, maybe I'm not as well versed as I should be on what the third pitch is there when those are your two. You know, I'm throwing it out there to you guys to see what you think as well.
I think a lot of times it just comes down to the comfort level that you talk about. Can you execute the pitch? Are you able to control where that pitch goes going from pitch? Obviously, fastball is a fastball.
Right.
Two-seam, four-seam. I know where I'm throwing it. I spot it. It goes. The curveball, first pitch that anybody learns as far as a second pitch when you're in, you know, 12 years old or whatever.
And then you take it out sometimes if you need to. Like we hear a lot of guys talk about taking it out, right? But you don't hear a lot about a lot of guys taking out like the other two basics.
Kyle Hendricks was like on and off with the curveball, like barely would throw it and then started to throw it towards the end of his career. To your point, like guys will eliminate that pitch. I don't know with Ben Brown. Like, of course, like that's been the bugaboo the whole time he's been here. Even last year, this was a talking point. Well, he's only got two pitches. So, and sometimes he's been really good. He's had some outstanding starts. He's had some outstanding bullpen performances as well. But what is sustainable? Like, there's such a conflict, I think, with this player, with this talent, with this skill set. Is he a starter or is he a bullpen guy? I think the Cubs want him to be a starter, and they want to do everything possible to groom him in that direction. But they've hit the wall in a season in which you're supposed to win this year. We all know that. We've hit you over the heads with that. So that is not tenable with this team at this time. But I know they want him to be a starter badly.
Listen, that's the thing. It's what's good for Ben Brown, what's good for the Cubs, what's good for Ben Brown in this version of the Cubs when we know we are in a window when they're trying to see if they can win a World Series, ultimately. And I think for Ben Brown, knowing that that changeup has been his third pitch and that he doesn't throw it, it's less than 5% of his pitch.
You don't feel good about it.
Yeah, he doesn't feel good enough. But AAA is the perfect place for him to go, not worrying about necessarily the overall result of whether the team wins or loses, but like, how did you feel about how you threw that pitch on this outing? That's what you can kind of do in AAA that you can't do if you just move him to the bullpen. Also, if you move him to the bullpen, especially in this stretch of days where they're playing, 19 games in 19 days? It just doesn't make sense when you've got guys like Colin Ray, Cade Horton, Imanaga now back in the mix, and the potential to have a trade.
I think if we're talking, like we talked earlier about the ground ball out inducing pitchers, right? Maybe it's got to be a slider then, right? I'll simmer.
That'd be nice.
Let's ask around. We got some people we can ask.
Yes,
Tommy
we do.
Hotovy would be somebody that I might solicit some information from or get the morning show to ask. We've got more coming up. In the meantime, let's get back to some football because there was a landmark discussion that happened in the NFL.
Before we do that, the Cubs-Cardinals series, just want to remind you, continues tonight from St. Louis. Pregame coverage begins at 6:10 on the Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Then after the postgame show, tune in. Chuck Swirsky reacts to round one of the NBA draft until midnight, breaks down what he what the Bulls will do with that 12th overall pick. All of that can be heard on The Score and, of course, the Odyssey app.
The late night Cubs or the late night Bulls draft talk with Chuck Swirsky.
I'm with awesome. That. I had no idea. Joe Bag of Donuts is going to be on my radio tonight.
You know what it is? It's like late night for the Hoops junkies. Will remember after game 7, we're like, what do we do now?
Oh, man.
Basketball's over. No, it's not. You have tonight, late night with Chuck. In the meantime, as I mentioned, massive decision that came down in the NFL. Mike Florio is fired up about it. So let's do the honors. Let's light Mike Florio up a little bit more. I have a feeling he's going to be very passionate about this topic and more in the league. That's next with Raheemy Harris and Mark Rohde on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.